Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about heat waves, and specifically the heat wave that is sweeping across Europe right now. Now, you might be thinking that a heat wave would actually be positive news in terms of the use of electricity and the need for Russian gas to make that electricity. But unfortunately, because of the extreme heat that we're seeing right now, particularly in Spain and France, but all across the European continent, that has driven a massive increase in the demand for air conditioning. So we're seeing a sudden and unexpected spike in electricity demand. And the problem that we have with heat waves is that it has negative implications for the production of electricity. So in this video, I'll run you through exactly what's going on in Europe right now, and we'll talk about the impact of that on the demand for electricity. We'll then go through what the implications of higher temperatures are for electricity generation. And then we'll have a look at how some of the bigger countries in Europe and also the USA are generating their electricity. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the impact of higher temperatures are going to have on Europe and the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and please also subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks, membership, Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. June, July and August are the summer months in Europe. However, July and August tend to be the 2 months when extreme temperatures are experienced. In June, we don't often get major heat waves. However, over the last few days, there have been extreme temperatures. The dial has gone above 40 degrees in France and Spain, and a lot of other countries around Europe have seen temperatures in the mid-30s. This extreme weather is now putting pressure on the production of electricity. We see a huge increase in demand, mainly driven by air conditioning and cooling systems. Because the air temperature outside is so hot, it uses more electricity to cool that air and keep everybody at a nice, happy, cool temperature indoors. And if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that a lot of European countries use gas-fired power stations to create electricity. And a large chunk of that gas is provided directly by Russia. And all of Europe is now on a path where it's trying to stop buying gas from Russia. So the last thing that these countries need right now is a sudden increase in demand. Over the summer period, the plan for Europe was to fill up all of their gas reserves as much as possible in advance of the winter period, because generally speaking, demand for electricity is greater in the winter. However, if we suddenly have a really hot summer in Europe, then that's going to increase the demand all the way through the summer period and is going to be counterproductive in terms of that strategy of trying to fill up the gas reserves before we get to the critical winter period. Now, as we've discussed before, a lot of the European countries have a long-term goal of moving their electricity production to renewable energy. But one of the problems with renewable energy is that it's difficult to increase the supply of electricity when you have a spike in demand. The three most popular forms of renewable energy are hydroelectricity, wind turbines, and solar. Now, hydro is the most popular of these three because it's seen to be more reliable and you can control the amount of water that moves through the system. However, there have been some major problems with hydro power stations all across the world when we've seen areas of drought. So if the water levels drop in an area, then it means that you have less water in that system and therefore it becomes less efficient. We talked about this recently, that Turkey has a lot of hydro capability. But unfortunately, because of extreme weather and falling water levels, they haven't been able to produce as much power as they wanted to. And so they've had to move back to the gas turbines, and that's meant that they've had to buy in more gas. And that's one of the reasons why the Turkish economy is under such pressure at the moment. Wind turbines are increasing in popularity, but the problem with wind turbines is that they obviously are dependent upon wind. So if you have periods where the winds fall, then that would mean that you're producing less electricity. And I've got an amazing video to share with you later in this video that I came across that I just think is a really great development. So I'll put it at the end of the video for people who are really interested to watch that, but I think it's really fascinating. And then the other form of electricity that's really popular is solar. But the problems with solar is that obviously it depends upon how much sunlight you get and you can't use it at night. So it's only available for certain parts of the day. Now, because of these characteristics, most countries around the world have a balance of power stations. and they look to their fossil fuel power stations to fill the gaps when there are increases in demand or if there's a fall in production from some of the renewable sources. Now, there is a renewable form of creating this sort of electricity. It's called biopower. So rather than using coal or oil or gas to fire the station, you use biofuel, which is created from plants and is therefore renewable, or wood pellets. Now, these type of stations are growing in popularity, but one of the problems with them is that if you're a country that doesn't produce biofuel or enough wood pellets, then you're still dependent on importing that fuel source from another country. So you've switched away from fossil fuel, but you've still got an overseas dependency. So we need to really get a system in place where all countries become self-sufficient. They can create enough of their own fuels for these stations to be able to get it to work efficiently. But the reason I wanted to go through this is so that you get an understanding of how the system fits together. When there's an increase in demand, such as what we're seeing right now in Europe, we've got this heat wave, therefore everyone's switching on their air conditioning units and there's a huge spike in demand, it's not possible for the majority of the renewable energy sources to be able to increase their output because they are just generating as much as they possibly can already. So there's no capacity to increase it. So the only way to fill that gap at the moment is by switching up the production of the fossil fuel power stations. And in Europe, it's predominantly gas. So we've got a problem right now that as that demand increases, so does the demand for natural gas. And the main supplier of natural gas with excess capacity right now is Russia. I recently posted a video talking about liquefied natural gas supplies coming from the USA and Qatar, and there's real pressure on that system right now. There just isn't enough being produced globally to satisfy the increase in demand that Europe would have if it was going to switch away all of its purchases from Russia to liquefied natural gas. What Europe is really looking for is an average summer without any heat waves to keep the amount of extra electricity that it needs to use down. But unfortunately, we've seen a heat wave come really early in the season here, and there is a distinct possibility that we could see numerous heat waves over the next few months, which will mean more electricity usage and using up those precious gas reserves that Europe have been trying to store up for next winter. In addition to the increase in demand, the heat wave also causes other problems for electricity production. As well as using fuel, generating power is also a water-intensive process. Power stations consume water for two reasons. It's heated to create steam to drive the generation turbines, but it's also used to cool down machinery. Now, both of these processes result in an increase in the temperature of the water. And this water has to be cooled before it can be released back into the river or the lake where it came from. The release of water is highly regulated all around the world because releasing hot water back into the ecosystem would be hugely negative for a lot of wildlife. So the water that's used in the process needs to be cooled, usually using cooling towers. But in hot weather, this takes longer because the ambient air temperature is higher. And as a result of that, power production becomes less efficient, and in some cases, plant output has to be dialed back significantly. In 2003, there was an extreme heat wave in France, which had serious consequences for nuclear power production. Nuclear power provides around two-thirds of France's electricity, and the plants take water from nearby rivers to cool their reactors. During the heat wave, the rivers became too hot and too low to safely provide enough water for the cooling process. And this meant a drastic reduction in output for most of the stations, and some actually had to stop all production completely. And as this came at the time of a heat wave, which results in an increase in demand for air conditioning, France was left on the verge of large-scale blackouts in 2003. But it's not just the temperature of water that has an impact on electricity production during heat waves. When any material gets hot, it expands. And that includes the electricity grids. Overhead transmission cables are often clad in aluminium, which is particularly susceptible to expansion in heat. When it expands, overhead lines can slacken and sag, which increases electrical resistance in the cables and leads to a drop in their efficiency. Transformers, which step up and down voltage across grids, are also susceptible. They give off heat as a byproduct of their operations, but to keep them within a safe level of operation, they have what's known as a power rating, the highest temperature at which they can safely function. When ambient temperatures rise, this ceiling gets lower and their efficiency drops, about 1 degree for every 1 Celsius gain in temperature. This means that electricity grids can lose around 1% in efficiency for every 3 degrees hotter it gets. So in order to get a better understanding of the impact of a heat wave on electricity output, let's have a look at the sources of electricity for a number of different countries. This chart shows the breakdown of the production of electricity in France on Friday the 17th of June. And if you look at the categories along the top of this chart, you can see that France is producing electricity from 9 different sources. The largest source of electricity is nuclear, and the percentage ranges from around 58% during the height of the day when solar is generating its maximum, up to a maximum of around 72% during the night. During the day, solar generates around 20% of all electricity. However, obviously this drops to zero as soon as the sun disappears. Hydro equates to around 10%. Gas ranges between 9 and 10%, depending on what time of day we're looking at. Wind power equates to around 8% during the evening and 2% during the day. And the balance of demand is made up from a mixture of oil, biofuel, coal, and imported energy. So I think what's really interesting about this chart is that it shows that France has a huge dependence on nuclear. It's using a lot of renewable energies, but as you can see, solar only works for a certain period of the day. So France will always need something that's going to offset that disappearance of the supply from solar. And as we just discussed, one of the problems that France is facing right now is that if it has prolonged periods of heatwave, that will have a massive negative impact on nuclear power production. If the temperatures get so high that nuclear actually can't use any of the water because the ambient temperature has gone beyond the point where it's efficient to be able to do so, then France could actually see 70% of all of its electricity production wiped out. And it would then either have to import an enormous amount of electricity or fire up some of the fossil fuel power plants. Now, one of the questions is, will it be possible to do that? Or could we see potential blackouts in France if we have a prolonged summer of heat waves? This chart shows the energy sources for gross electricity generation in Germany in 2021. Now, at first glance, it looks like wind is the biggest generator in Germany at 20%. However, lignite and hard coal are essentially the same form of generation. Lignite is a slightly softer, less efficient form of coal, but if we add those two together, it takes the percentage for coal production to around 28%, so that represents the largest portion. Natural gas is 15%, nuclear 12%, solar 8%, and we just talked about the problems with solar, that it only operates for certain periods of the day and also depends upon direct sunlight. Biomass was around 8%, and then we've got a variety of other smaller sources. So the issue for Germany is when there's a spike in demand and they need to power up more electricity, they don't really have many options apart from coal and natural gas to be able to meet that excess demand. Now, most countries around the world have been trying to move away from coal-fired power stations because of the emissions that they give off. Coal releases around double the amount of CO2 that natural gas does when it's used in electricity production. So from an environmental point of view, it would be better for Germany to use natural gas to meet the increase in demand. But obviously the problem with that is that it means buying more natural gas directly from Russia. This chart shows the breakdown of the production of electricity in the UK in May 2022. And you can see that the vast majority of all the electricity was produced from 3 sources. Gas was the largest, with around 44%. Wind came in around 25%. And nuclear made up 17%. Solar is the next biggest form of electricity generation with 6%, and then everything else is less than 5%. So if the UK sees a huge increase in demand for electricity, the most likely source is going to be from gas. Now, the UK does produce its own gas and is also geographically located well to be able to source natural gas from other areas rather than Russia. Now, this table shows the breakdown of electricity generation in Spain in 2021. And you can see that Spain is utilising a high percentage of renewable energy. Its biggest form of energy is wind at 23%, followed by nuclear at 21%, hydro at 11%, and solar at 8%. Fossil fuels still make up around 30%, and as we just discussed, if there's a big increase in demand for electricity in Spain, that will be the source that they will have to turn to meet that extra demand. Whilst it's not in Europe, I wanted to include the USA just to see exactly where the power's coming from. And this table shows the breakdown of electricity generation in 2021. And you can see that fossil fuels made up around 61% of all electricity. Nuclear came in at 19%. So between the two of those, they're looking at 80%. And the 20% balance came from a mixture of renewables, with wind and hydro being the two most utilised so far. So this table's not great from an environmental point of view in terms of the high use of fossil fuels. However, on the flip side, when there's an increase in demand, it's very easy to be able to fire up extra capacity when you've got a lot of fossil fuel power stations. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think most of us think about power being used mostly in the winter. You think about when it's cold, you have to put the heating on, you're using more electricity, you're sitting in the house more. But when we have heat waves, it means that we have a sudden and unexpected spike in demand for electricity. We're all used to air conditioning these days. Everywhere you go, you want to be nice and cool. And when the weather goes over 100 degrees Fahrenheit or more than 35 degrees Celsius, it becomes unbearable to stay outside for too long. So we need to turn up those air conditioning units, and that means that the demand for electricity is also turned up proportionately. And because of climate change, we're now seeing heat waves occurring on a much more frequent basis. As time goes on, it's likely that the demand for electricity during the summer period is going to increase. And that means that we need to be ready for that. And one of the reasons I wanted to look at renewable energy was just to get a feel for how reliable that source of energy is. Some forms of renewable energy are dependent on the weather. You need the sun to shine, you need the wind to blow. And the problem with renewable energy is that it's difficult to be able to ramp it up very quickly if you have a spike in demand. So therefore, all countries need a form of electricity generation that they can fall back upon. But with the infrastructure that we've currently got in Europe, the fallback position right now is either gas or coal. Now, there's a big drive to reduce the amount of emissions all across the world. And so governments will be reluctant to start using more coal-fired power stations if they can avoid it. So that really leaves them with only one alternative, gas. And the problem that Europe has right now is that it's not possible to buy in huge amounts of gas from anywhere other than Russia. They're currently working on plans to try to get it replaced. But in the short term, during 2022, the only place that they're going to be able to find it is Russia. And that raises two questions. Firstly, will those countries want to buy that extra gas from Russia? And secondly, will Russia be prepared to keep selling it? If Russia decides that it wants to switch off all of the gas supplies, then during a heat wave would be a really interesting time to do it. Now, I know a lot of countries have storage, so they've got some capacity built up, but they're trying to build that up for next winter so that they've got enough to see them through in the event that Russia do switch off the pipelines at some point. So the last thing that European countries want to do right now is use up those precious supplies just so everybody can switch on their air conditioning units. So it's a really interesting conundrum. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments on this. I think it'll be interesting to see how temperatures fare over the rest of June, July and August. If we see a record summer in terms of really high temperatures, that's bad news for both Europe and the global economy. Because higher demand is going to drive up the price of natural gas, liquefied natural gas and coal. And as we've discussed before, having higher prices of all of those commodities feeds through into virtually everything. So unfortunately, it's going to be more bad news for the global economy. So you may be sitting at home thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a really hot summer? But from a financial perspective, it probably won't be that great for the global economy. Now, I mentioned earlier that I've got a really interesting video to show you, which I'll show in just a second. But for anyone who doesn't want to watch that video, thank you for watching. Please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Now, wind turbines are a slightly controversial matter. Some people really hate them. And there's usually a lot of objections to proposals to install turbines, particularly onshore turbines. If a farmer decides that he wants to put up 20 massive turbines in his field, all of the local residents will come out and say, we hate it, we don't want to see these ugly turbines on our landscape, we love the countryside, all of those sort of things. So one of the solutions to that is to stick these things out at sea. But the problem with putting a turbine out at sea is that obviously it's quite difficult from a structural point of view. You have to create a stable base in the ocean. That's difficult if you've got very deep water. And from an environmental point of view, it can be quite damaging to the local infrastructure. So Norway have now come up with an ingenious idea to have floating wind turbines. And I'd just seen this video and I thought it was really fascinating. And so I wanted to share it with everyone. So I won't come back on at the end of this video. So thank you very much for watching. If you're going to watch this video, thanks for watching it too. Don't forget to give me a thumbs up and I'll see you again soon.